Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette, and we welcome back. Although, Michael, I think it's been a couple of years. I'm overdue to have you back, Michael Marion, the fine manager of the Simmons Bank Arena in North Little Rock. And big anniversary this month, 25 years. I know you can especially, but I can remember that like it was yesterday. I was working in the governor's office at the time, as you know, and we were all excited about it. Hard to believe it's been 25 years that have gone by.
You're right, Rex. We've had a lot of different things go on and, you know, a lot of stories to tell. And you know, it's just been great. We've been able to, you know, deliver on the promises that Buddy Valiant, the late Buddy Valiant, made about, you know, we don't get any money from the taxpayers.
It's a remarkable story. Yeah.
There's no bonds on the building. We've been able to deliver a lot of the events, I think, that people were expecting from a place like this, and maybe some they didn't expect.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you were in your home state of Mississippi, managing the arena in Tupelo at the time. How did you hear about this new arena being built, and why was this position of interest to you way back then?
Well, you know, when I was in that, before my time in Tupelo, I was running the building. I was an agent out in L.A.
Yep.
For artists like Tina Turner and Whitney Houston and Steve Winwood and others. And my territory was Virginia down to Texas. We always said it was everybody that talked like I did.
Exactly.
So Arkansas was certainly in that group. And I realized that, you know, the facilities here had gotten old. And so
you helped bring performers to Barton Coliseum in the day.
As a matter of fact, I booked the Tina Turner date.
Oh, wow.
That they're doing this, and there's a ticket for it down at the, in those photos at the State House Museum about Barton. Well, I actually booked that show. I've got my route book still showing where we played Little Rock.
Yeah.
So I realized in talking to people that this market needed a new building, that the you know, Barton was old.
Absolutely.
And so when the opportunity came along for, and I heard they were building a building, I went, there's a market that's probably going to do really well because there's some pent-up demand for a lot of shows.
Absolutely. You know, I'm of that age, Michael, and people my age, you're native Arkansans. I know you've gotten to know many of them through the years, but I'm of that age that I remember that period there for a short time where a lot of the good concerts were actually going to the Pine Bluff Convention Center.
That's right.
Because Barton
right.
had gotten so old and Pine Bluff was new.
Right.
And suddenly that was the place for concerts at this point.
You're right. I remember, you know, shows routing to Tupelo from Pine Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I knew this market needed a new building, and when that opportunity came along, I made a phone call and put in my name in the hat, and make a long story short, got selected, and I remember my first meeting with Judge Valiant was at the Faded Rose.
Really? Yeah, it was his favorite hangout.
His hangout.
I knew where to find Buddy always.
But I just, you know, I loved his approach to this, and you know, Bob Russell was the chairman, I've always laughed about, you know, people saying to Bob, we got a guy for you. He's from Tupelo. But, you know, I think that, you know, we had great leadership at that time. And we've continued with that.
It is, like I said, it's an amazing story. And we're going to get into it a little bit. As you said, the promise to the voters is, you know, fund this thing temporarily, and then it's going to fund itself from now on. And as you know, I mean, you're in the business. That's not the case with a lot of arenas across the country.
No, you're right. Plenty of them have, you know, they can finance their operations, but they can't finance that debt.
Yeah, and they go back to the taxpayers again and again. Yeah,
they have to, you know, redo their bonds and this kind of thing. And we were real fortunate, again, that, you know, as we said, the day we opened, it was paid for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things I know that has been gratifying in this job to you, you mentioned Bob Russell, you mentioned Buddy Valiant, but the chance to meet so many great business leaders of the state. And I think about the naming rights and when it was originally Alltel, and the chance to name Joe and Scott Ford. And then, of course, when they sold to Verizon, Verizon finished out that contract. But then Simmons, my former employee, the name now with George Macris. But, you know, you talk about the Fords, you talk about George Macris. I mean, we're talking about some of the cream of the crop of the Arkansas business leadership there.
Absolutely. We've been very fortunate to have those kind of people step up, because you think about Joe Ford. This was betting on the come like nobody's business.
Absolutely,
you know,
it was.
He paid those naming rights 2 years in advance.
Yep.
You know, and we used that money. I remember when he made that commitment that we upgraded our seats from plastic to padded seats.
Yeah, exactly.
Those kind of things that had a real effect on the way the building turned out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you have had to obviously make changes. They're constant challenges, I know, from a physical standpoint, from an infrastructure standpoint. But boy, at least to me, and I'm just talking of somebody who shows up for events. So you're down in the bowels of the place, but the work you've done, the building still looks fresh and new to me. It has stood up remarkably well, just from my viewpoint, for a 25-year-old facility.
Well, thank you. And that's something we've really tried to do. Instead of waiting 25 years and go, oh, we need $10 million to do this and that. Every year we have a file in our computer system called wish list. Mm-hmm. And all the staff puts in there, here's the things we need to do. And so each year we spend some of that money that we made in the profitable years. And thanks to the suite holders and some of those kind of in naming rights, those kind of injections of money on a periodic basis really have helped us. You know, we just got through doing our whole landscaping. We've redone all of it. And we're about to replace all our lights. And we've got 400 lights inside the bowl, and we're going to replace them with 70 LEDs. So we're trying to stay up to date. And as I said, over time, we've added things, repaired things. Again, trying not to have some big bill at 25 years where we're like, oh gosh, how are we going to pay for this? We tried to do it incrementally.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when I go back to the start, and we probably did this the last time you were here, but you know, such interesting stories around the start. Like I said, I was in the governor's office, and the original event was going to be an exhibition NBA game featuring the Los Angeles Lakers. And I actually, Michael, happened to be, because we had gone over there before the game, a group of us, in the lobby of what was then the North Little Rock Hilton, now the Wyndham Hotel, when they told Phil Jackson of the Lakers there wasn't going to be a game.
Right.
I remember the look on his face. But talk a little bit. We can smile about it now. I know you weren't smiling at the time, but talk about the day when every Arkansan suddenly learned what a raker beam was.
You know, that was just a crazy time. We had planned on the Lakers being a soft opening event.
Right.
Gave it a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
But the quick story is we had an engineering problem, but we got it fixed. That was the beauty of it. And I certainly give our board attorney, Tim Grooms, credit. Where we had, he made sure all the people involved with the construction were under one insurance policy.
Yeah.
So nobody was pointing at each other saying it's your fault. It didn't matter. The insurance covered it. It didn't cause a tax. You know, yes, we were delayed. I'm not missing that.
Yeah.
But we were delayed by, I think, 12 days.
That's
right. We got Elton
right.
John up. And it didn't cost the taxpayers, that delay didn't cost them anything, which is very, I give credit to him for making sure our insurance was such that wouldn't be a problem.
Absolutely. I had tickets for the Elton John concert with my wife, and we were on the upper level. I was a little slow in buying the tickets, and we were on the upper level, and my wife said, is it safe? And I told her, and I know you will verify this. I said, with all the media attention of the last 2 weeks, this is the safest building in America, because every engineer you can think of had looked at that and signed off on it. I know.
Amen. I mean, I've said the exact same thing. I said, there's no building that's been reinforced like this one.
Yeah, it was. And then Elton John goes off without a flaw, full house, and it was a wonderful night.
Yeah, it was. It was. And Elton came back, you know, what, 2 years ago?
Yep.
And alluded to being the opening show at our building, so it kind of came full circle.
Yeah, absolutely it did. Now, as I look back, you know, so many times, and of course now it's even worse. You can imagine if social media had been there 25 years ago, but people get in feeding frenzies for no reason. And I remember before that first show, Michael, everybody was worried about parking. You know, where are we going to park, everybody? Where are we going to park?
Yeah.
And parking's never been a problem. There's plenty of parking in North Little Rock.
Now, you're absolutely right. And the beauty of it is, it's not like people say, well, why didn't you build a parking deck? Well, you know how you get stuck in a parking deck?
Yep, for hours after an event.
Right. Yeah. You know, in our case, because the parking is spread out all over North Little Rock, you get out of the building pretty quick. I mean, that's one of the beauties of it. And again, we have not had I've never had anybody call me and say, "Guy, you need more parking."
Mm-hmm. Exactly, but it was an issue.
Always a front page story. What are they going to do about the parking?
Yeah, exactly. And it shows how sometimes things can feed on themselves, and they're just not a problem when it turns out that way. Let's talk about what you've done over 25 years. And I'm not just blowing smoke at you, Michael. You know, I've written this before and said this before, but you are brilliant at bringing in acts that normally would not be in this size market. And I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I know you're going to say it comes back to relationships, and it goes back to those days as an agent in Los Angeles and the relationships you've built up over the years. And now 25 years of good experiences with artists and the people who surround them that make them want to come back.
No, you're right. And you're right. I mean, I was very blessed to have started at Mississippi State booking concerts, went to LA and got to know, worked as an agent, as I mentioned, got to know a lot of people. And then, you know, got to Tupelo and once again used those same relationships. But I'd also add that, you know, I have to give the staff credit. I mean, when people roll into our building, they know they're going to be treated right. I always say, you never know what's coming through the front door or the back door.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when people come in, whether it's our patrons or whether it's, you know, I think about our Google rating is 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
We'll take that. So obviously the patrons are happy, and we try to address any issues that come up. And then the people that come in from back, you know, come in on the trucks, we try to show the best Southern hospitality we can. You know, we just an example, we offer them free Dippin' Dots.
Wow. Wow.
You know, it's just those little things
know,
that make a difference. And based on my experience being out on the road with Tina Turner, I realized that kind of stuff makes a difference, because these people are basically picking up all their belongings and moving from place to place to place. And anything a building can do to make them feel more at home, that's really important. So, mm-hmm. and our staff has certainly bought into that, and that's a big part of why we're able to. And of course, you know, the other part is we got to thank the people in Arkansas for showing up.
Absolutely.
They buy tickets. We're known as a good, solid secondary market where people will buy tickets, you know, that we'll sell out George Strait. You know, we'll sell out Harry Styles. We got Jelly Roll coming up. It's almost sold out. We've got, we just had Chris Stapleton, which was sold out. So those kinds of, you know, that kind of record makes it that much easier to book the building.
I know this is like asking somebody, you know, who's your favorite child, because you work hard to book all of these events. But looking back over 25 years, 3 or 4 favorite nights at the arena, if you had to pare them down, what would be some of your favorite memories over the past 25 years?
Well, I think about when we did the Rolling Stones. I believe that was in 06 and 08. But regardless, for the longest time, I wouldn't say Rolling Stones out loud to anybody in the staff meetings. I'd say, that band, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even want to jinx it.
Yeah, don't
but
jinx
getting
it at
the
all.
Rolling Stones was a treat.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of in our file in the computer, it didn't say Paul McCartney, it said Rocky Raccoon. I didn't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
But it's
kind
of silly. But that was in meeting Paul McCartney, and you're like,
uh-huh.
What do you say to Paul McCartney?
Exactly.
You're a Beatle. you know.
Exactly.
So, you know, that was a treat. Again, having George Strait went five times. You know, he holds our record for the most people
does
in the building.
George Strait had the record.
Because he does his show in the round.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a small stage, and we put 18,004 people in the building.
Wow.
So, you know, things like that, you know, really put us on the map. And you know, again, I always like to tell people, you know, we're not making widgets here. We're making memories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we like to think, you know, each year we have a little over 400,000 people through the building that, you know, hopefully we've made a good memory for the help make a good memory thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let me talk about sports for a minute. I mean, you had teams, UALR called it home for basketball before they built their own wonderful on-campus arena, the Stevens Center. You had arena football in there for a time that frankly did quite well when you compared it to other arena league teams. You had minor league hockey in there for a time. You had ABA basketball in there for a time. None of those teams stayed there, but I know in talking to you before, saying not having a full season really opens up dates for your music acts, but still the arena's ready to host big-time events as it has annual Razorback basketball games still. With Coach Cal, I predict this year's game will sell out probably the first day the tickets go on sale because of Calipari. You have that. You've hosted the SEC Women's Tournament several times. You hosted men's NCAA March Madness once, and I'm still hoping we get that back, Marion. Michael, I know you have to partner with UALR on that. We've got a new athletic director there. I think he's interested. So you still remain in the sports business, even though you don't have a regular team there.
That's correct. And when people ask me about minor league sports, I say, we have a professional team in Arkansas. They're called the Razorbacks.
Yeah, exactly, with NIL.
And, you know, and I always tell people what call about. I said, look, the Friday nights are high school football. Saturday nights could be a home Razorback game. So with that, as you said, now arena football did last 13 years. But
I didn't even know that it was that long.
Yeah,
I
know.
Went to a lot.
Yeah. Wow. But, you know, they had a change of ownership and it fell off. But that's kind of the cycle of that kind of thing. Now, we will find out this month if we're going to get, ULR has put in another bid.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out this month that whether we are in the opening rounds or regional or whatever. So we'd love to have one of those back. ULR's bid every time that's been available.
I know, and I have told people, Michael, and you will back me up on this. You know, I love March Madness. I watch it every year, and in most of the arenas you look at, they're maybe half full for Thursday, Friday day games on that first round. I mean, we sold out every session.
Oh, yeah, we sold ours out a year in advance.
Yeah.
And you know, they came back and did the audit. Everything was fine with that. The building was okay. You know, we had some hotel issues. But, you know, we've improved on that. So, yes, we've stepped up every time. And fingers crossed, and you know, we'll find out this month.
Yeah, well, I think this is a great location for March Madness, and hopefully we will get good news on that. We've talked about music, we've talked about sports. Let's talk about around the arena what has happened. The arena opened 25 years ago. About 7 years later, Dickie Stevens Park was built as the home of the Arkansas Travelers. And with those two facilities there, we have seen, and it, if anything, you know, I look at the apartments on the river now and the plans for a new hotel right next to you and all. If anything, it's speeding up. But we've seen tens of millions of dollars invested on that side of the river downtown since you opened 25 years ago.
Oh, you're right. We just had an economic impact study done, and based on the numbers, we've had a $400 million impact since we opened.
Yeah.
And what it's done for North Little Rock, and you remember back then, the only, you know, downtown North Little Rock was a one-way street, and all you did, you just zoomed through it.
Yeah.
And now.
And the then pawn shop next to you was about the busiest business down there.
That's right.
Bus station.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But it's all changed. And I like to think, you know, we're a county building. We want to benefit both sides. And, you know, I think we certainly helped out the River Market. Mm-hmm. We're helping out downtown Argenta. And again, we like to think we were a catalyst along with, you know, the Clinton Library, you know, with along with the stadium, you know, the whole downtown scene. There's so many dynamics of that and so many interlocking pieces. And I like to think we're a solid piece of that to cause when people now can come downtown, they can go to Brewed and Barley or they
yep.
go across the river.
I mean really good so restaurants, really yeah. good after game entertainment, after concert entertainment within walking distance. And then the riverfront itself, which was pretty much empty then. I can remember the late Mayor Pat Hayes driving me up and down that riverfront and go.
Oh, you got the Pat Hayes tour?
Oh, my gosh, he scared me to death. You know, he would go over these little bridges that I didn't think would hold his pickup truck. You've probably been through that, up and down that river.
Yes, and he was famous for his tour.
Oh, yeah, and he would point out his vision for what would happen on that riverfront. And, you know, if we lost Pat just like we did Buddy not too long ago, but if he were around now, you know, you look at things like the Rockwater, where it's the new urban development. You almost feel like you're at Seaside or somewhere
yes,
that
yes.
has come up, and the luxury apartments that are going up now. Pat's vision has happened along that riverfront.
It sure has. And you're right. He had a vision, and he dreamed, and Buddy did too. And I like to think that we certainly helped in all that.
Yeah, absolutely. You were very much a catalyst for that. So,
and with all this revitalization and that they're working on the river market.
The Little Rock side, absolutely.
Because that to me is an important part of. You know, what we're about is generating business on both sides of the river.
Absolutely. And big plans there by the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau. Now, I'm going to ask you what you have, what you see happening maybe in the next 5-10 years. And please don't tell me you're retiring. You're not allowed to, Michael. You're just one of those invaluable people that we're not going to let retire. I can't afford to retire. So when people say that to me, don't worry. I'm not, even though I've turned 65, I'm not looking at it anytime soon. But, you know, what do you see big picture? Where do you see things going the next 5, next 10 years for this arena?
Well, I tell you, Rex, it's been to your point, I'm not planning on retiring.
I
just turned 69, but you know what? I'm still having fun.
Yeah, that's important.
And I'm
yeah.
one of those. I'm not sitting around waiting for the day I retire, so I'm going to keep working for a while. But, you know, I think you'll, again, with the way we financed the building, you know, the name, if you remember, that naming rights money we got from Altel went to construction.
Mm-hmm.
So for 20 years, we didn't have anything for naming rights.
That's right.
And then Simmons stepped up, and that was a certainly interesting process. We had 9 people express interest in naming.
Wow. That tells you a lot about how well you were
doing. And so that was certainly exciting. So, but obviously they stepped up big. So with that kind of, you know, money available to us, again, I already mentioned the landscaping and the lights and a lot of things we do. So I think we're going to be able to continue to have our building, you know, stay up to date. I think, the concert business, you know, people talk about the digital age and all this, but you know what? I think people will always want to be in the same room with their favorite artist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a communal experience. You know, people say, well, you got to wait in line, all this stuff. That's just part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you're there to have a good time. So I think we'll continue to be a player in the secondary market scene and getting shows. Again, we're going to continue to try to get an NCAA in here. We certainly haven't given up on that. So I think that the building itself, you know, at 25 years, we've replaced some internal things, you know, with chillers and that kind of thing to keep mm-hmm. it going. So I feel good about, you know, the building being just as viable as in 10 years as it is right now.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it up and keep it, trying to keep it fresh. You know, we've done things like add a vibe room where you know, that's an upsell where you can go hang out before
right.
the show or during the intermission for an extra charge, or you can go to the Legends Lounge and have dinner. So, you know, we've tried to keep up with the times as far as, you know, what people are wanting and what they're expecting out of their experience.
And we're talking about all that's happened in that surrounding neighborhood, and I see more coming. You know, I think about hotels that you can walk to, because I I love walking down, you know, after that Razorback game. I usually make reservations far in advance and going to the Wyndham and eating at Frank Fletcher's Riverfront Steakhouse. He has kept that hotel nice. Now plans if they move forward for, I believe it's Tempo, which is a new Hilton brand, very upscale, that would be basically right outside your door.
That's
there.
Right.
So a lot happening in that area.
Yes, too. It is. There's a lot of, you know, for a long time, you know, there's a lot of talk about things, but now I think we're seeing them really come to fruition.
Actually moving, yeah.
Yes, yes. And what's going on again in Argenta and what CVB's got planned for the River Market, I think all of that, you know, is just going to make that area that much more dynamic.
Yeah. How has, you know, you talk about making relationships all those years ago in L.A. and putting on a good experience, but like all industries, the music business changes. How has that business changed in the 25 years that you've been here?
Well, you know, Rex, and I can go back a little further just to kind of go into it, but if you remember, when you and I came along, tickets were real cheap.
Yeah, they were.
And because the artist was touring in order to support their album sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were out there touring because the record company was the one that was paying them all that money. And if you remember, in the early 2000s, everybody started stealing music.
Yep.
And the artist was not getting money from the record companies because everybody was stealing music. So they turned, looked around and said, I've got to tour more and I've got to raise my price.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we started seeing ticket prices going up when those artists. And that's kind of calmed down some now in terms of streaming. I mean, that they're getting compensated for their labors as far as recording and writing songs. But in 25 years, I certainly see an increase in ticket prices. And if you and I were going to shows, the whole house was one price.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, now exactly. Now it's like an airline. You got a ticket for every a price for every seat almost. Mm-hmm. So we call it scaling the house, and so the front row is more expensive than the top row, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's certainly been a big development in all this. So I think that, and then it's just the genres of music, you know, and it amazes me. I have a 28-year-old son, and I'll never forget when he was in the eighth grade, he came home and said, Dad, do we have any Queen? Well, yeah, Jonah, we do. And his whole, in their generation is so into our music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really translated, which is very interesting because I think about when we did Stevie Nicks this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, well, that's a classic rock act. It's going to be me and you and people our age. No, no. It was girls
down to young people,
20, 25. There wasn't a piece of black lace left in the state. And every top hat was gone. I mean, they were all dressed like Stevie Nicks. And you're thinking, this is so great that our music has transcended the next generation.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you. I didn't want to listen to anything my mom and daddy
listened to. Oh, same here. Same here.
You know, we were listening to that awful rock music.
I was going to say, I'd have been listening to the Glenn Miller Orchestra if I'd have listened to what my parents listened to.
So. You know, and the other thing, big change, is country music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, country music used to be a small piece of the genre pie.
That's right.
And rock was the big piece.
Yeah.
Well, now country's the big piece. I mean, country's not the country you and I grew up in.
Exactly. It used to be small bars and intimate
and Porter
places. Wagner. Yeah, exactly. I always think of the, you know, one of my favorite movies, The Blues Brothers. Of course, we play two kinds of music, country and western. So you think of a small bar with the chicken wire, you
know, around
the stage in those days.
And now country is basically rock music.
Yeah.
So it's that's been a big change, just, you know, watching how the genres have changed. And you got somebody like Jelly Roll, who's a country rapper, and you're like, how does that work? But again, it's just really that's been another big difference, is the way country music has expanded.
And, you know, I hit on music, I hit on sports, but you've also been a good home to all kinds of family entertainment. And we're talking from the Harlem Globetrotters every year to shows on ice to wrestling to monster trucks. You've got a lot of that going on too.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been a solid family show market. We do two monster truck shows a year,
and they draw well, don't
they?
And
if you want to come to the loudest event we have in the building, come to Monster Trucks, because and if you do bring a child, make sure you got some earmuffs or earplugs, because when those crank up. We say out in the concourse, the crying corner's over there, because
All
these dads are walking out with their
kids crying,
6-year-old crying. So But yes, those are certainly good. This year, Ringling Brothers is back.
Oh, the circus is back.
Now,
right?
They don't have animals. That's right. The big thing. Yeah, so, but I've seen the show.
I'm a sucker for the circus now. Well, I'm a big kid when it comes to that. Good.
It's really good. So, yes, we do that. You mentioned Globetrotters. PBR is big this year. You know,
professional bull riding. Yeah. Right.
That's a big event for us. So, yeah, family show at Disney on Ice is always, you know, performed well for us. So, yes, all those kind of events. Again, it's really important for us to have a good mix of shows, you know, whether it's rock music, remember soul music, you know, R&B, family shows. We try to, you know, hit all genres that we can.
Yeah. Wow. What a mix. Family shows, sports, music, 25 years of success, and I don't see any end in sight to it. Michael, thank you as an Arkansan for the great job you do for our state in managing the Simmons Bank Arena in North Little Rock.
Well, thanks so much, Rex. It's great to be here.
Michael Marion, our guest on the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you the next time around.